Welcome to the Fidelity Bank PLC Full Year 2015 Investor and Analyst Conference Call. Your speaker is Mr. Nnamdi Okonkwo. There'll be a question and answer session at the end of the call. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to our 2015 full year conference call. I have with me my colleagues. I start with Chijioke Ugochukwu, Executive Director, Shared Services and Products. I have Bola Joshua, Chief Operations and Information Officer. I have Chinedu Osakwe, the Treasurer. I have Abolore Solebo, sitting in for Executive Director, Corporate Banking. Then I have Sam Obioha, Head of Investor Relations, and then the CFO, Victor Abejegah. Welcome. In 2015, we stayed focused on executing our medium-term strategy. The results reflect the resilience of our evolving business model. When I took this job about nearly 3 years ago, we had defined our strategies and the business model that we run. We stayed focused to those strategies, and we expected that fee income would come under severe pressure last year. In giving you guidance, we had planned revenue strategy. We had planned that our revenue strategy would be driven by net interest income. Net interest income itself was to be driven by expansion of the earning asset base, and more importantly, a 1% improvement in our NIM from 6%-7%, while keeping our cost of risk at 1%. Our results further reflect improvement in the earnings capacity of our balance sheet, which is actually what we are pleased about because we are thinking of a more sustainable earnings profile. This improvement in the earnings capacity of our balance sheet actually puts us on a solid footing for future earnings. Overall, our 2015 numbers or our activities were focused on three key pillars: improving our interest margins, expansion of the earnings asset base, and driving the adoption and usage of alternative channels to generate replacement fee income. Of course, like you're all aware, the FX challenges and regulatory limitations of last year, as well as removal of COT, came under pressure, but we had proactively planned to replace this from electronic banking income, as our numbers will show. The key performance highlights are as follows. Net interest income improved by 24% from 60.8 billion. This was driven by a 7% expansion in our earning assets and 0.9% improvement in NIM. Our NIM closed at 6.9%, just 0.1% shy of our guidance of 7%. On average yield on earning assets increased by 1.1% to close at 13.8%. Cost of risk at 1%, I mean, at 1%, of course, is inclusive of the special regulatory provision we made concerning Owando, which I'm sure most of you are aware of. We had actually taken this provision straight into P&L. If we didn't do that, our PBT would have been up by an additional 1.1 billion. Could have taken it to our equity, but we chose to take it straight to P&L. So this NIM, I mean, this cost of risk of 1% already includes that special provision. Okay, so we took significant revenue hit from FX trading restrictions and significantly reduced FX liquidity in the interbank market. Indeed, our FX income declined by a significant sum of $10 billion in 2015. Like I mentioned earlier, we tried to use e-banking income to make up, and our e-banking income improved by $7.6 billion. This is a growth year-on-year of 182%. Indeed, this was one of the bright spots of our numbers for last year. Unfortunately, it didn't grow fast enough to cover the $10 billion that we had lost on the FX income line. For deposit base, it declined mainly due to funds we had transferred to CBN under the TSA arrangement. However, our retail savings deposits grew by 22% in the year. Our cost, which is, you know, a major issue for us, we grew at 17%. This was due to some strategic investments and costs we incurred in 2015. But all this was to position the business for further growth. However, not making excuses as management, we realized that we need to push these costs down. And so we'll be looking at reducing our operating expenses in 2016 by about 5%. On tax rate, you would notice an effective tax rate of 0.9%. This was mainly due to utilization of $1.4 billion from our deferred tax. Okay, our NPL remained at 4.4%, same level as last year, even though it was slightly higher at it was slightly higher by 0.4% because we had given you a guidance of 4%. So we closed at 4.4, so we missed that guidance by 0.4%. Our loan books grew by 6.7%. This was principally driven by public sector and consumer loans. Now, for the public sector, the growth was primarily driven by on-lending bailout funds, which we had taken from CBN and on-lent to various state governments. We note, however, that some states are more under pressure than others, and that means we have to keep an eye on this risk as we progress in the year. For our customer numbers, for us it was good news because our customer numbers continued to grow, and we have now crossed 3.3 million mark at the end of 2015. Now, this increase mainly resulted from our cross-selling of products, adoption of electronic products, which led to growth in retail deposits, especially in Q4. So we are pleased with the increased cross-selling rates we are seeing. Our online banking was, upgraded during the year, and we've seen a faster growth in adoption. So, in closing, I would just like to say that net interest margins will be under pressure significantly due to significantly lower yields on our liquid assets. Excuse me. I would like to stop here and thank you. I'll hand over to Bolahan, who will now give you more detailed presentations, and I'll be standing by to take questions. Thank you.
Okay, good afternoon, everyone. I'll just go straight to slide 4, which speaks of the key policy changes in the 2015 financial year. I'm sure we're aware of most of them, the changes to CRR, the closure of the RDAS window, the restriction of 41 items, the changes made on deposits of cash into domiciliary accounts, MPR reduction towards the end of the year, and then restriction on FX sales to BDCs. Now, on slide 5, we're just looking at recent events and implications. From the last MPC meeting, the focus has shifted from stimulating growth to tackling inflation. And so we've seen an increase in MPR from 11 to 12%. We believe there will still be FX pressures, though there's been a gradual uptick in oil prices and the hiking of monetary policy rates. We think interest margins are likely to come under pressure in 2016, even with government instruments still at single digit. Lower crude oil prices, rising inflation, and lower consumer disposable income. This will still lead to some significant pressure points for corporates and individuals, so we'll be very proactive in our sector-specific risk management. But we see a lot of scope for improvement from the technology innovations in the payments and transaction banking space. On slide 6, just a broad overview of Fidelity Bank, 227 offices, 3.3 million accounts, 1.2 trillion in assets, 184 billion in total equity, 3,500 professional staff. Our ratings are B&B and our auditors are still EY and PKF. On slide 8, it just speaks of our performance highlights for the year. Total interest income was up 16.2%. That was basically driven by the expansion in the earning assets base and the improvement in NIM. Fee income was down 20%, majorly due to the reduction in FX income for the year. Our net interest margin came in at 6.9%. 2014 was 6%. 2013 was 4%. Our PBT was down 9.6% to 14 billion. The cost of risk is still 1%. Our NPL ratio is remained unchanged at 4.4%. And FCY loans are now 40% of the loan book. Regulatory ratios are still very, very strong and well above the regulatory threshold. If you go to slide 9, where we just look at the year-on-year comparison, you see that the major pressure point came from the reduction in fee income by 21%, the growth in expenses by 17%, and then the spike in the growth in net impairments by 34%. Out of the growth of 1.4 billion in impairment, 1.1 billion was related to the special regulatory provision Namdi spoke about. If you look at slide 10, which just shows a quarter-on-quarter trend, the performance was very subdued in quarter four due to the growth in the expense growth and the growth in net impairments from 800 to 1.8 billion. I will speak more about those in coming slides. On slide 11, if you look at the year-on-year balance sheet position comparison, total assets growth was about 4%, earning assets grew by about 7%. You see a reduction in our cash holding. We've tried to optimize the balance sheet more and extract more value from it. So cash was down almost 40% from 33 billion to 20 billion. Cash reserve was also down. That's more due to the regulatory ratio set. If you look at the deposit base, savings grew by about 22%, and then debt securities were up by 64% because of the Tier 2 bond we issued, the 30 billion we issued in 2015. Slide 12 just shows a quarter-on-quarter growth on the balance sheet, a quarter-on-quarter trend of the balance sheet.